Gospel of John, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And beginning the reading at verse 1 down to verse 11. Jesus is speaking, said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Bless us the Lord again to bless his word. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for the fellowship already, for the communion with you, Lord, for the songs, Lord, and for the prayers, Lord. We bless your name this morning, Lord, and we come into your presence, Lord, again, Lord, humbly, Lord, beseeching you. And Lord, we look to you, Lord, because vain is the help of man. We ask you, Lord, indeed, we know you're here, but we ask that you'll come in a greater way. Lord, that you'll come and just minister this morning, that you'll come and be with us, Lord, that your power will be manifested in this room, Lord. Lord, that we'll know a sense of your presence in a greater way, maybe than we've never known before. Or Lord, that we'll say, "There's that power again."
Hallelujah.
We ask, Lord, that the anointing will come and break every yoke of bondage.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that your power will come and destroy the yokes of bondage this morning, and every fear that's not of you, in Jesus' precious name. We ask you, Lord, you'll speak to us from your word. And we ask you, Lord, that we'll not be the man that beheld ourselves in the glass and turn away and straightway forget what manner of persons we are, but help us to become doers of this word.
Amen.
And not hearers only, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that your joy might remain in us, and that might be full, our joy might be full, in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, that we'll begin to produce the goods, Lord, that we're meant to produce. That we'll be producers of that fruit, Lord,
amen,
that comes off the tree of life.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory.
In the name of Jesus, we speak these things this morning, not in the name of ourselves or any organization, but in your name this morning.
Hallelujah.
We take authority over principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the things, Lord, that would bring us to naught. We speak against them in Jesus' name this morning, for your honor and for your glory, Lord. We say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may have your seats this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You know, I suppose
I'm here this morning. I don't want to sound to... I'm not boasting this morning, but I maybe have five sermons. And you know I'm not going to preach five sermons because you can't preach five sermons in the time. I'm trying to speak this morning about the branches. I'm trying to speak about the branches. You know, I've written down note after note after note after note. You can have too many notes, I suppose. The reason being you can get it all mixed up and don't have it in any order, and what you're saying at the beginning is maybe what you should be saying at the end. And what you're saying at the end is maybe what you should be saying at the middle. You have to have some sort of order sometimes, don't you, to get it across. You know, this is based on a dream that I had. And when I woke out of that dream, I was sick in my stomach. I was sick. And it was about the apple trees. Now, I'm not sure. I'm going to read you the dream. I'm going to read you what took place in the dream. I'm going to read you what I saw. And then, I came to the scripture. And I could find in the scripture the things that was in the dream. Now, do you see this portion of scripture that we have read? John's Gospel, chapter 15, from verses 1 to verse 11. You and me's in there somewhere.
Amen. Right.
Let me say this. This does not apply to the unbeliever. There's not a verse in there that applies to anybody that's not saved. Everything that's in this portion of scripture applies to you and applies to me. If you ever were born again, this applies to you. Every single verse here is for the believer. Every single one of them. Now you might say there's verses in there that doesn't apply to you. Well, I want you to know that every verse in this passage applies to the believer. Jesus was addressing his disciples. He wasn't addressing anybody else. He was speaking to his disciples. And let me say this. How do I know that? Well, verse 2 tells me that. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, he's not talking about a branch that's not in him. He's talking about a branch that's in him. So he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. So you can be in Christ, and you can be unfruitful. And if you're in Christ and you're unfruitful, you're in danger of being taken away. Is that right? That's the word of the Lord. I believe that. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. And I said the word of God. So Jesus is addressing his disciples. He's addressing the believers. He's not addressing unbelievers. He's addressing believers. He said, every branch in me. There's no excuse. There's nobody that's not included here. You see, some people might say, oh, that's not for us. We have moved on. You can't move on from the Word.
Amen. Right.
You have to stay with the Word. Amen. And if you stay with the Word, that's how you abide in Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, that's the key. Now the key is that we abide in him.
Amen.
Now, what's the purpose of a branch? The purpose of a branch on a fruit tree is to produce fruit.
Right.
Now let me say this. It's simple. A branch needs a tree, and a tree needs a root.
Right.
And that's why Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to maybe jump the gun, but Jesus gives the reason. He says that we would bring forth fruit.
Yes.
That we would bring forth fruit. That we would be producers.
Yes.
There's a product that we need to produce.
That's right.
And that's the reason why the Lord addressed his disciples. And not only is there a product that we need to produce, there's a joy to be had.
Glory. Right.
And you'll notice verse 11, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might what? Might remain in you.
Glory.
Remain in you. And that also your joy might be full.
Glory.
Now, you don't need me to tell you that you can lose the joy of the Lord. You don't need me to tell you that you can lose the joy of your salvation. But many people today have lost the joy of the Lord, and they've lost the joy of their salvation. And the psalmist David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Right.
And when you lost the joy of the Lord, you're losing a part of your strength.
Right.
And when you lost your strength, you become weak.
Right.
And when you become weak, you're not able to produce the goods. Now, I have good news for you this morning, but the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. And if you're in this meeting this morning, if you're listening in this morning, I have good news for you. If you feel that you're weak, I'm going to tell you, if you're weak, there's hope for you, because you can receive strength. If you're weak, you can be strengthened. Hallelujah. You know, I need to read you the dream. Now, I just got out of bed and went and tore the calendar off and started writing. You know, when you're young you can remember things. When you get older, you have to write them down. You don't remember the same. But if you're young and you want to write them down and not do you any harm, and write them neatly, and write them in a book in order, so that you can go back to them years later and refer to them.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying that? I am saying that because your roots are important.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying that. Your roots are important. Now this is the dream. The dream is about the apple trees. The apple trees. And you know, I can identify with apple trees because I've got apple trees at the farm. But I don't claim to know everything about apple trees. But you wouldn't need to be very intelligent to know that you get apples on an apple tree. Isn't that right? And you wouldn't need to be very intelligent to know that whenever the blossom comes and the leaves come, that summer's nigh. And then you're expecting harvest. You know, we need to be expecting harvest.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Some people are not expecting any harvest. Boy, that's an awful way to be. But I saw the trees in the dream, and I've written it down here. It says, these trees stood close together. All the branches were mingled together. None of the branches had reached maturity. They were too weak to support or carry any weight. Yet they had lost their tenderness while they had been there a long time. Now I want I'm not here this morning to criticize anybody. No, I'm not. Don't. Just you listen. This is not criticism. Criticism will not bring the power of God. Criticism will never bring the power of God into the room or into the situation. Criticism will never bring a deliverance ministry. Criticizing somebody if they're doing something wrong or they're doing something right will never help them. It's a hindrance. But I'm not here to criticize. I'm only here to tell you what I saw. Now, these branches were so weak. Now, you know, I have a whole portion about weakness, and we could spend a whole service on weakness. We could spend a whole time on weakness, and we could spend a whole time on tenderness. But you know, these branches had lost their tenderness. Now, just while I'm on it, I'm going to mention about tenderness. What does the word tenderness mean? I went and looked it up in the dictionary, and it said that a young girl or a young boy or a young woman had fell, and her husband or her spouse saw her, and he came and he picked her up with tenderness. Amen. Tenderness. And it means affection. It means fondness. It means love. It means devotion. It means loving kindness. It means sentiment. It means compassion. These branches had lost it. You know what happens to the church when it loses its tenderness? Now you might say, John, what are you talking about? Well, you need to have a tenderness for the fruits of the Spirit. You need to have a tenderness for the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
Now you lost that. And you couldn't care less. You lost that and you're not bothered. Oh, may the Lord give us a tender heart. May the Lord give us a compassionate heart. May the Lord give us that affection. An affection for the fruits of the Spirit. An affection for the gifts of the Spirit. An affection. Now listen. I've written it down here. You know, said these branches were too weak to support or carry any fruit, and they had lost their tenderness while they'd been there a long time. And you see, it doesn't matter how long you're on the road. If you have lost your tenderness, you're going the wrong way. Not good. Now I want to move on from that. It was impossible to tell. I've written down here, top nor tail. The branches, I want you to picture in your mind. I should have had that machine out and drawn on it. I'm not a good artist, but listen. The branches was mingled together, woven in and out through each other, and they're touching. And it says here, it was impossible to tell or trace what tree they belong to. You couldn't tell what tree them branches belong to. Now the trees is all together and the branches is all mingled in and out through are, and you couldn't tell what tree they belong to. They're mingled together. The branches themselves did not know. The branches themselves didn't know what they belonged to. They didn't know what they believed. Now, it says, they also did not know if they were coming or going and were unable to trace their roots. The branches didn't know if they were coming from that tree, or coming from this tree, or coming from the other tree, and was unable to trace their roots. They didn't know if they were coming, or they didn't know if they were going. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me if you don't know where you're coming, or if you don't know where you're going, you can never give direction to somebody that is lost. How do you direct somebody if you're lost? If you're on a road that you've never been on before, and if you don't know if you're going up the road or down the road, you don't know if you're coming back or if you're going. If you don't know what road you're going, and you meet a stranger and he's looking for directions, how can you direct him? You can give no sense of direction because you yourself don't know. And you cannot trace your roots. If you don't know what tree you're off, you can't trace your roots. Now, there's more in this, you know. There's more here. You can't trace your roots, you don't know. How do you give directions? Now, when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit, you need to know if you're coming or going. When it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you need to know if you are coming or if you are going. You need to say, that's a gift of God, that's not a gift of God.
Amen.
Now, if it's a gift of God, preach it and believe it and encourage others to have it. But if it's not a gift of God, find me in the Bible where this is or where it's not. But if it's in this word, you better preach it.
Amen.
Don't say you're preaching the word if you're leaving out some of the word. You have to preach all the word. You have to know if you're coming up the road or you're going down the road. Now this is the fact. This is the dream. You might say, well, John, the dream means nothing. Well, it might mean nothing to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Now these branches, they didn't know themselves. They didn't know if they were coming or they didn't know they were going. You know, whenever you don't know why you're coming and going, what's wrong with you? One day you believe one thing, the next day you believe something else. One day you're saying one thing, the next day you're saying the opposite.
Yes.
The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James said, let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. God wants you to be steady. God wants you to trace your roots, the traceability.
Amen.
Now, it said they didn't know why they were, and they were unable to trace their roots. You know, I was in Jersey on a holiday. I'm looking at the clock. It's in gold. I was in Jersey on holiday there a few weeks ago. And I'm not one for going to other meetings or churches. No, did I not? And even if I would go to another meeting, I would ask the Lord. I would almost ask the Lord to forgive me. I would never go to anywhere that's not the word, the truth. I believe God brought me out of a system. And it's not everywhere I would go, but I walked in a Bible shop in St. Helier in Jersey in the Channel Islands, and there was a woman there who handed me an invitation to go to a meeting, and it was a full gospel businessman's meeting. And there was a man coming to preach, and he worked in a nuclear power station. I work with nuclear reactors. And she says to me, it'll be interesting. Will you go? And I says, I might go. But I hadn't much to do with myself. And I said, right, I'll go to this meeting tonight. And I got the bus. And I only had to walk about 500 yards. I was at the meeting. And this man came along, and I'm sorry, I can't even remember the man's name. I just put the ticket in the bin. And I got a ticket. You had to get a ticket, and you went in and you paid £10 and you got a dinner. That's the full gospel businessman. And you know, Brother Branham used to go to them meetings with the man that started them. And they're Pentecostal orientated. And this man got up and he done something that every strange preacher ought to do. What did he do? Now, something that every strange preacher, preacher that's unknown to you, preacher coming for the first time, he done something I believe that every preacher ought to do. You know what he done? He told how he got saved. He told how he got saved. He gave his testimony of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say he established his roots right there.
Amen.
We need to establish our roots. We need to know where we come from. We need to be able to trace our roots back to an old rugged cross. We need to be able to trace our roots back to Mount Calvary. We need to be able to trace our roots back to an upper room experience where the power of God came on us, where the anointing came on us, and we were filled with the Holy Ghost. If you can't trace your roots, you can't worship proper. I believe that with all my heart. You have to be able to know where you come from. You have to be able to look to the time in your life when you pass from death unto life. You have to be able to look to the time in your life when you met with the Savior.
Right.
Now he's the key. Nobody else. Jesus Christ is the key. Now that man, he didn't say anything that I can remember that I would disagree with. Now you might say, John, he's only a Pentecostal. Well, I want you to know this. There's going to be a lot of Pentecostals in the catching up. And when you go to heaven, it's going to be Pentecostal.
There is a Lord.
Why do I say that? Well, Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 11 and he said, if the root be holy, the lump will be holy. He said, take heed, for he said, if you're a wild olive branch that's grafted in, take heed lest you be removed. And he said, you're only grafted in there because the Gentiles in part was blinded, the Jews in part was blinded, that it might bring a Gentile bride in. And we're only there because they were put out. But they're not excluded. God's going to save the Jews in one day.
Yes, amen.
You know, we need to be able to trace our roots back. But you know what's wrong today? There's some people, and if you said you spoke with tongues, they'd look at you as if you have a devil.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I was in a room where I heard an unclean spirit crying out in an unknown tongue, and it only cried out and knew what it said. I had the interpretation. It said, shut up! To the preacher. And the preacher was making an appeal for people to get saved. And the Holy Spirit of the living God was moving over the meeting, the Bruce Bruton over the meeting, and there was an unclean spirit in that meeting, and it was Thursday night. Why? God told me it was going to be there. It was Thursday night. And that unclean spirit cried out at the preacher and said, shut up! I took the wind out of his sails for a while. And what am I saying that for? I'm saying it because if you hear a tongue that's false, there's something wrong in you if you don't know it's false. Do you know what you need to be able to trace your roots back to? The anointing.
Amen.
The anointing. Do you know what's worse than the false anointed? The false that's not anointed. They're worse.
Yes.
They're worse.
Yeah.
The false with no anointing is worse than the false anointed. There never was anything happened in the scripture outside of the anointing.
Amen.
By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. Right. By the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Just as the prophet spoke. This is the day of the latter rain. God is moving in power again. And the anointing shall break the yoke. I tell you, you need to be able to trace your roots back to the power of God, to the anointing.
Amen.
Well, don't tell me you've lost your tenderness for it. Don't tell me you've lost your affection for it. Don't tell me you've something better.
No.
Don't tell me you have something that'll bait the anointing. You'll not tell me that. I can trace my roots back to a Pentecostal experience. I can trace my roots back to sitting in a prayer meeting and the power of God coming in the room and the Lord saying, John, whatever you say now is going to happen. I'm not messing you about this morning. I'm telling you what God said to me. And as I'm standing here this morning, I know it without a shadow of a doubt. It was God. And what I spoke happened. You can call that whatever you want. I call it a visitation from God. I can trace my roots back. Listen, I want to tell you something. What I said about the angels is, thus saith the Lord, I don't need anybody else to tell me. I don't need anybody to instruct me. I am not here to boast this morning, but I don't need an instructor on the catching up. I have one that did instruct me.
Amen.
I can trace my roots back to that old rugged cross. I can trace my roots back to that Pentecostal experience. I can trace my roots back to the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
I know whom I have believed it.
Yes.
And am persuaded.
Amen.
That He is able.
Glory.
I believe it with all my heart. Praise His holy name. You know what else about these branches? It says there was absolutely no fruit on any branch. Only a few leaves here and there. You see, if you don't abide in Him, you're cut off. Now let me say this. Let me say this in case I forget to say it. The life's not in the branch. Well, the life comes in the branch. But the branch has no life of its own. The life has to come from the root. The life has to come from the root. So if you can't trace the root, you can't trace the lifeline. You know what we have today? We have people today who are throwing out the branch. They're throwing the branches out for a lifeline. The branch hasn't got any life. Only what it got from the root. We need to throw the root out.
Yes, glory.
And when you throw the root out, you're throwing the lifeline out.
Yeah.
When you throw the root out, you're throwing the lifeline out. And if somebody's dying, if somebody's on that root and they're lost, there's a line that they can take. There's a line that they can catch. There's a lifeline that can be thrown out. It's the root. It's the self-existing one. It's the altogether lovely one. It's Emmanuel. It's God with us. That's the lifeline we need to throw out. Throw out the lifeline. Somebody's perishing. Throw out the lifeline. You can throw out the branch all day long. What happens to the branch? You cut it off a tree. It'll die. It'll wither. It'll die. Not produce nothing. Why? It's lost the lifeline. Lost the tenderness. Oh boy. Lost the affection. They're in Christ. They're part of the tree. But they lost it somewhere. They lost it. Don't lose your tenderness. Don't lose your traceability. Don't lose Calvary.
Amen.
Don't lose the old rugged cross. Don't lose the blood. Don't lose that by His stripes you were healed. Don't lose that upper room experience.
Amen.
Don't lose the fruits of the Spirit. Don't lose the gifts of the Spirit. Don't lose your tenderness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, don't lose your joy. Don't lose the joy of the Lord. Just abide in Him. Just abide in Him. Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the one that gives the joy.
Right.
He's the one that can let the joy remain. Because the joy can go away. But the Lord wants it to remain. He said there was no fruit on them. You know, all the writing, I've done loads and loads of writing, but the purpose of the branch. The purpose of the branch is to produce the fruit. You go to the tree, but when you go to the tree, it's the branches on the tree that has the fruit.
Yes.
Now, whatever's in the root will manifest on the branch.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's in the root,
amen,
is going to manifest on the branch. And John the Baptist came preaching repentance. And he said, already the axe is laid to the roots of the tree. He didn't say the branches. No, it's the roots. And Jesus said, every plant that His Heavenly Father hadn't planted would be plucked up by the roots.
That's right.
So roots is very important.
Yes,
and you know, whenever you're watering a plant, you water the leaves, don't you? And the leaves take the moisture in from the rain. But what do they do with it? It goes back to the root. When the believer gets the Holy Ghost,
yes,
it goes back to the root. When the power of God comes on you, when that anointing comes on you, you're a child of God, and that anointing comes on you, it'll go back to the root. It'll go back to the lifeline that gave it in the first place. Believe it or not, that's what happens. And you know, if the roots dry up, if you can take the moisture away from the roots, you're going to kill the tree. The tree will die. That happened. I saw it happening to me. I transplanted a tree. And I thought I'd done a good job. I had done a good job. Because the tree started to blossom and bud. And then there came a drought. No water. And the tree died. Why did it die? It dried up from the roots. What about the fig tree that the Lord cursed? It came seeking figs and there was no figs on it. And the Bible says it wasn't the time for figs. It was out of the season. But he came looking. You see, God wants to move by season or not season. God wants to give you a miracle today, no matter why somebody says miracles is over. God wants to give you a gift today, no matter somebody says the gift is no longer in use. God doesn't retire. God doesn't work a 5-day week or a 6-day week. He works in eternity. The evening and the morning was the first day, but God made them, and He was there before time, and He'd be there after time, but He's still in time. You know, Ian was talking the other night about God being in time, and you know what I was thinking about Him being on the grip. There's boys I know working in time, and they're doing nothing. But not to take it out of His context, God is God on the grip working for you, or is He on time?
Man.
You see, if you're on the grip, you'll work. But if you're not on the grip, you'll kill the time. Tell you, we need a Holy Ghost meeting where the Lord's working on the grip. What does that mean? It means you have a certain time to get the job done. You have an all day. Get in there and get the job done. Move!
Glory.
Oh, boy. The branches has only had a few. Do you know, I was feeling sick when I woke up. Now, you know, I've written down something else here that happened that said there was two men beheld these branches, came and looked at them. There were two angels came and looked at them. And one of them said that he would pull them apart and try to see where a branch was coming from and also make room to grow. And he grabbed a hold of one of these branches and he pulled on it and he couldn't trace it where it was going. Couldn't be traced where it was going or where it was coming from or what tree it belonged to. And it was then that it was noticed that they had lost their tenderness. You know what happens to you whenever you lose your tenderness? You can't be told nothing. Did you know that? You see, when you get to the stage where you think that you know it all, you're in a bad way. I'm telling you, this sounds funny. I'm not telling you this morning, oh, you're a bunch of, I'm not saying you're a bunch of know-alls. I'm not saying that. Look, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here. But if I do, there's three fingers pointing back at myself. I'm guilty. But you know, the Bible says about knowledge. You know what it says? Knowledge puffeth up. Big head. Big head. Open them two doors there and I get out. Big head. We know. We know.
Yes, that's it.
We know.
Yes.
We know. What does he know? We know. We know. But we don't know if maybe lost our tenderness. We don't know if maybe we've lost that heart of compassion. Maybe we don't know we've lost that vision for the lost. Maybe we don't know that we need to have a gospel, an old fashioned gospel campaign. Maybe we don't know we need a place here for people to kneel on their knees and ask the Lord to save them. Maybe we've lost that.
Yes.
We know. You see, we do this, we do that, we do something else. It's not what we do, it's what God's doing.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I want to be in a meeting where he's doing it. I want to be somewhere, somehow, where he's moving by his Holy Spirit. I want to be where he is. I want to be where that power is. I want to glorify him. I want the Holy Ghost. Tell you. You know, this man started to pull at the branches and the other angel said, don't do it. Says you'll only hurt them. You'll disturb them. Let them alone. Now the scripture that we read says that. It says if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and men gather them and they are burned. Now that does not mean that they're lost. But that means that the judgment of God is going to come on them. And while some men's sins are manifested now, and some men's sins follow after them, and I believe that you'll pay a price if you disobey God. I believe there's a price to be paid, but also I believe that there's a bounty to receive, and there's a penalty for obeying the voice of the Lord. And that penalty is the joy of the Lord. That penalty is the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
It's the power of God. I'm going to relate to you a story briefly. I shouldn't do it, but I'll do it in 2 minutes. I remember years ago a man a man of God came to a Pentecostal meeting, and there was a big meeting on that night, and then after the meeting there was another meeting, a house meeting, and this woman came and she said to me, "John, we need you to come out to the house. Brother so and so's here. He's been fasting and praying, and he's going to come and he's going to get brother so and so delivered. And brother so and so needs deliverance, and he's going to get him delivered, and we need you to come out to the house tonight." And I looked at the watch and it was 10 or half 10 at night, and I said, "I'll not be going. I'm going home and going to my bed, for the milkman will be at the top of the loan in the morning at 8 o'clock and I have to have the cows milked for him coming, and good night. I'm going home to go to my bed." And I said, not to be disrespectful, but if the Lord has sent that brother to deliver this other brother, or to do cast out this devil, or to cast out that devil, or to do whatever he's going to do, if the Lord has sent him, surely then the Lord's going to do something, and he doesn't need me. Good night, I'm going home to go to my bed. And you know, I met the woman later at another time, and she said to me, "Brother John, you should have been there." And I said, "No, you didn't need me." Oh, she said, "You should have been there for the experience." And I believe it was the Holy Ghost in me, and I said, "Tell her I have got one experience, and it's the only experience I'll ever need. It's the experience of the power of God. The experience of the power of God. And I'll tell you, when you have the power of God on you, there's nothing can stand in your way."
Amen.
Nothing. I believe that. Now, I don't know why I told you that. I shouldn't have told you that, maybe. You know, I have to bring this till a close. You say, "John, you haven't really said what you were going to say, have you?" Well, let me say this. In John's Gospel, as we have read in chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus said something. Jesus said this all.
Amen.
But he said in verse 3, he says, "Now are you clean."
Glory.
"Through the word."
Amen.
"Which I have spoken unto you."
Right.
You see, whenever you're clean, God can use you.
Good.
Whenever you're clean, you've got rid of everything that God doesn't want you to have. And what will do that for you? You know what that speaks of? That speaks of a sanctification. What does the word sanctify mean? It means chosen and set apart for God's use. What did Jesus say? He said, "You never chose me." He said, "It was him that chose you." You didn't seek God. God sought you. You didn't decide one day, "I'm going to come, I'm going to get saved." No. You only done what God wanted you to do. And God wanted you to do it that you might bring forth fruit. That's why. And that your fruit might remain. Now, there's an example. The Bible is full of examples where the Lord spoke to somebody, and then they had a reaction to the word, and God wrought a miracle. You see, when God speaks to you, and you know what God has spoke to you, and you rely on that word, you're going to have a supernatural experience that comes from the presence of God. I want to tell you, there's no substitute for that. That's like Brother Branham said, perfect realization. That's the word of God being fulfilled in your life. God's plan and purpose being fulfilled in your life. Now, quickly, if I can turn, I'm still 10 minutes before half past. If we could turn to all these things is written down here somewhere. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7. Maybe Brother Jeff can get that up for us, because he maybe be quicker than me turning to that, but if you want to turn to that. 2 Chronicles And it's the story about Asal, isn't it? I think it's about Asal. And he hears the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, you see,
all right.
Do you know something? When God speaks to you, it means he's still dealing with you. When God, it's worse when God doesn't speak.
That's right.
But when God says something, it means he's dealing with you.
All right.
Yes, there's a brother Jeff has got it up here for me in the 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 6, 7, 8 and 9. It says, and nations were destroyed of nations, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Now this is for the weak. If you feel weak this morning in this room, or this afternoon now, if you feel weak, this is for you.
Right.
It says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.
That's right.
Don't you let your hands be weak, but you be strong, for your work will be rewarded. Now this is the word of God, and it's starting to clean us out. And when Asaph heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So you see how the Holy Ghost started to work on him. You see how the Word of God started to cleanse him. And when the Word of God started to cleanse him, he started to do a cleansing act himself. And he started to get rid of idolizing people and idolizing things and making idols. And the Bible says that he took courage and he put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord. Do we need to renew that altar? Do we need to renew the altar? Now, I'm not preaching works this morning, but maybe we need to renew the altar of the Lord. And we see here that something happened. Praise the Lord. Now I want to move on. Thank our brother Jeff for that. I want to move on. I want to come till a close. You know, I've still loads of stuff here that I can say, but I believe I've got across most of what I believe the Lord wanted me to bring across. You know, I have a few verses here about weakness. In Job chapter 4 and verse 3, Brother Jeff, if you can get us Job chapter 4 and verse 3. And says, strengthen ye the weak hands. I did give you the verse 3. Look what this is. I believe it's still the word of the Lord. Verse 3 says, behold, thou hast instructed many and hast strengthened the weak hands. You see, that goes back to your roots. It goes back to the roots for to give instruction. If you don't know where your roots are, how can you give any instructions? You can't do it. But I want you to notice especially, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. The words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees.
Yeah.
You see, Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3. Now, because you're weak doesn't mean to say that God has forgot about you. You know, there's a verse, and I may have it written down, maybe I haven't written down. We'll maybe come to that in a wee moment. That's Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3, and it talks about strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And maybe I haven't just... Yes? Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. You know, that's where you stand. That's how you stand, to strengthen your knees. You need your knees to stand. You need your knees to walk. And you need your hands to work. So it's strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now, if something else here. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. Now you say, John, you're just moving from scripture to scripture. Yes, I believe you probably could preach a sermon from all of these, but just to go through about a bit about weakness. It says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And let the weak say, I am strong.
Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong.
Right.
And you know, you're in a battle. You and me's in the bottom. The devil doesn't want you to have any fruit. He doesn't want you to have any joys. He doesn't want you to have anything coming off the production line. He doesn't want you to have any spiritual gift. He doesn't want you to have any fruits of the Spirit. You know the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, faith, meekness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. Against such there's no law. Maybe I haven't mentioned them all. But you take the first of them, love, joy, and peace. God wants to give you that.
Right.
Faith, meekness, and temperance. Goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you're looking for to see what's on the branch, you had to go to the branch to see what's on it. You have to examine it to see if any of them criteria is there. But I believe if we're weak, God can make us strong. God, it's God that makes us strong. We have no strength of our own. But Joel here says, beat your plowshares into swords. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness. Then again you. But God's for you.
Amen.
Now, I know I haven't said maybe what all I should have said, or maybe haven't brought it across. Maybe I could have brought it across in a better way. One. Brother Jeff, if you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I think it's verse 27. And there's another. Are you feeling weak this morning? Are you feeling that you've done something foolish this morning or this afternoon? Well, this is what Paul said to you. Said, but God. You know, I was going down the road the other day and I seen that on a billboard, and there were only them two words, and it said, but God.
Right.
But God. You know, you might have been foolish, I might have been foolish. You might still be foolish. I might still be foolish. You might be weak. I might be weak. But God. But God. But God hath. God did something. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Do you ever think you didn't know much? This help is hope for you. Do you ever think you haven't much strength? God said he has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are men. You know, when God's on your side, you can win.
Amen.
When God's on your side, you can get a victory.
All right.
Hallelujah. God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. You know, what's my prayer this morning? I keep saying this morning, this afternoon now. Jesus said in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I've tried to set out the criteria. It's the will of God for you that you're in the joy of the Lord. It's God's will that His joy remains in you. You know, we can lose the joy of the Lord. It's not our fault. It's not always our fault. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. The devil will try you. And you know, I believe sometimes maybe the Lord will let him try you to prove to Satan that you're able. But Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." I believe God, if you're sad, God can give you His joy. And that your joy might be full. You know, whenever your joy is full, there isn't anything that disturbs your peace. When your joy is full, it's full. There's nothing can be added to it. You're just full of the joy of the Lord. I trust this morning some of what I've said has been a blessing to you. I have never came to try to discourage you. I've only came to try to encourage you. You might say, well, maybe John, it doesn't sound like that, but I believe that this morning with all my heart. And you know, there's lots more. We could go down different roads from this. We could go all different roads. But I believe I've touched on something that's important when I've tried to touch on the roots, on the root, and the traceability. You don't think that God doesn't want you to have fruit, for God wants you to have fruit.
Yeah.
And don't think that you can't have fruit. You can have fruit.
Amen.
And no matter what you're going through today, have faith in God. Because it's faith in God that will work a miracle. Now, miracles come on the branches. That's where they come. They come on the branches. The miracle comes on the branch, but the life for the miracle comes from the root. And what Paul, I didn't turn to the book of Romans chapter 11, but Paul's talking there about the root bearing the branches, and he said, "Take heed, for the branch doesn't bear the root, but the root the branch." So, what does that tell you? It tells you that you're not just trying to hold on to God. God's holding on to you.
Amen.
God's holding on to you. We couldn't hold on, but He's holding on to me. He's holding on to you. Praise His holy name. You know, it's just gone 25 till. I'd like us to sing a hymn. And remember, Sister Alba will come. And it's the hymn in the only, or no, it's in the Redemption Hymn Book, and it's 617. If you can get it up, Jeff. It says, "In tenderness He sought me."
Amen.
"In tenderness He sought me. I tell you, God sought me in tenderness." You know, when we sing this hymn, we're still a few minutes left. And we could maybe just try to worship the Lord. We could maybe just try to come into His... We're in His presence, but we could maybe just try to thank Him. And also, you could maybe... Maybe that's a good time for you to just release your faith and say, "Lord, I need You to do this for me." This is when miracles happen. This is when supernatural happens. This is when the gift of the Holy Spirit happens. You see, If you come into the church and you're expecting the Holy Ghost to move with signs and wonders and miracles and the gifts, you're coming in under expectation. But if you're coming into the church and somebody says the gifts is on the shelf, you're not coming with any expectation. You have made the Lord redundant. You've given him his redundancy. You've made the Word of God of known effect through tradition. You know, I would never pray for anybody that doesn't operate the gifts. And maybe I would pray for them that they will operate them. But I believe in the gifts. With all my heart, why do I believe in them? Because they're in this book.
Amen.
They're in this book. And I believe we ought to be given space for the gifts. We ought to be coming till a time of worship where we worship the Lord. We're waiting on him. Now, I might be a Quaker. I don't know. I don't call myself one. But I believe that the Lord can use you in a gift. Don't never condemn them.
Amen.
If you never want to be used to them, you condemn them. But if you want to have them, don't condemn them.
Amen.
Seek them. Seek the gifts. I tell you, Paul said, if the root be holy, then the lump's holy. If the root goes back to Pentecost, we ought to be back at Pentecost.
Yes.
If the root goes back to Calvary, we ought to be at Calvary. Isn't that right? Bless the Lord. I need to stop talking. Praise the Lord. Can you sing this? In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin. And on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. While angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me. I tell you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life. Maybe you want to stand on your feet this morning, or this evening, stand away. And maybe you want to try to help me sing this. And we're just going to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
just remain standing for a moment. Just let us ask the Lord. You just ask the Lord. Just ask him. Lord, we're here. We want to ask you, Lord. Lord, we just want to ask you. You said, Lord, if we abide in you, we will ask. Lord, you said for us to ask. God, we're coming this morning. We're asking you, Lord. Lord, we're asking you where there's no fruit, that fruit's going to start growing.
Amen.
We're asking you, Lord, where the branches are starting to wither, that there's going to be a refreshment come from the presence of God. We're asking you, Lord, that where there's death, there's life going to come. We rebuke death this morning, this afternoon. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we loose life upon your people. We loose life upon them that's on our hearts and upon our souls and inner thoughts. We loose life this evening, Lord. You said whatsoever we had bound on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever we had loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven, Lord. You said to ask you. Lord, we're asking you.
Amen.
You were asking, Lord. Who can ask, Lord? You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Can't ask anybody else. There's one mediator and one mediator, one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we're depending on what you said.
Amen.
We're depending, Lord, on what you have said in your word. Lord, let there be a refreshing come from your presence. Let there be a renewal come from your presence.
Amen.
Let the power of God come into situations, Lord. Let the tenderness and the fondness come. Give us that hunger, Lord. Give us that desire, Lord. Wash us, Lord, with your word. Clean us, Lord, and regenerate us with the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Amen.
Let the word be a washing. Let it be a soap, Lord, a cleanser, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh God, not that we're not, well, that we're unclean, Lord, but another bit of a touch will do us no harm.
Amen.
Lord, let the weak be strong in this room. Oh, let them that are bruised by Satan recover. Let them recover to full health and strength. In the name of Jesus. Let them take back what the enemy came to steal. Revive us, Lord, in the midst of the weak. Send your Holy Ghost, Lord. Burn the dross up.
Amen.
Refine the silver, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Help us to find the gold, Lord.
Right. Jesus.
Something that's real.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I believe you're dealing with us.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we're your servants. We give ourselves to you afresh. Lord, may we go from this place refreshed.
Hallelujah.
May we go from this place with strength. And may we turn again to face the enemy. Lord, the children of Ephraim carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. Let us not turn back.
Amen.
But let us pursue. And like King David said, recover all.
All right.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we ask these things for your glory. You said ask, Lord, and you said that the Father would be glorified. You said, herein is your Father glorified, that you produce or bring forth much fruit. Lord, we're expecting a harvest. We're expecting the fruit, Lord. Let it come forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, will you touch somebody? Will you touch somebody and say, only believe. Yeah. Only believe. Yeah. Only believe, brother. Only believe, sister. Yeah. Only believe, brother Jeff. Yeah. All things are possible, only believe. Yeah. Only believe, sister Alma. God bless you. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, so that thy youth is renewed as the eagles.
Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong.
Amen.
I am strong. I am strong.
Amen.
I was weak, but I am strong.
Right.
I feel weak, but I am strong. I'm strong to bring forth. I'm strong to deliver.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what did Jesus say? He said, I am he that
liveth
and was dead. And I'm, behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah.
Right.
That's the God that sent us through.
Glory.
That's the God that dwells with you. That's the one that gave himself for you.
Right.
That's the one that saved you.
Amen.
That's the one that can take you home. Bless his holy name. Praise the Lord. It's 10 minutes to one with my watch. I don't know if it's fast or slow. But you can have your seats again. And guy's going to come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.